Thank you. So let's continue in this outline, lesson five, Shepherding the New Believers. Well, someone may say, I don't shepherd new believers. All I shepherd are old believers. Well, I will guarantee you, whether it's new believers or old believers, a lot of these principles apply. As I was preparing myself to speak to you, I've gone through this outline again, and I was actually very, very helped, very, very refreshed and reminded. But for many of us who may not have entered into this shepherding life, this shepherding service, all these points are born out of experience and learning, and they are very, very helpful in our application. So Roman 2, we need to realize that the new ones are babes in Christ. This is a big one. So the point here is we're taking care of some new ones who just were saved, or seekers who are have well, nominal believers who have gotten regenerated, and they may have certain background or concept. How do you care for such ones? Ones that are new in the church life. And like I say, even possibly some candidates of the gospel of salvation. How do we shepherd? How do we shepherd such ones? Because they are all lambs. So the first thing Peter talked about was, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that will make them wise unto salvation, so on. So a very important thing is to know the one that you're caring for, where they are in their spiritual life. Are they not even saved? Are they close to being saved? How open are they? Have they been to how long have you known them? What have you spoken to them? What have they been exposed to in their background? How much do they know? What kind of background do they have? What kind of questions they may have? How seeking are they? How open they are, so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, we're dealing with people, and you have to know people. You have to be interested in people. You have to study people like sheep, like lambs, in order to know how to take care of them. So this is customized care. This is detailed care. This is on point care. This is not just some kind of general caring of others and general feeding of others. Has to be customized, has to be very personal. The more, the better that way. And so we have to treat them, speak to them, relate to them in the way that is just right, in the way that is pleasant, in the way that is fitting, in a way that would open the door for the proper kind of care and fellowship. All right, here, the first requirement to have a proper home meeting. Again, it's not talking about a meeting. talking about of caring for the for a person. And here specifically with these newly baptized ones, I mean, look, even someone could have called on the Lord and got saved, but he's not baptized yet. I just heard from a brother that just recently, a few weeks ago, a number of his family, his own family, are baptized. They have become believers. Some of them are even in the meetings of the church, but not baptized. How do you bring someone through baptism? That is a process of shepherding. Shepherd them through this great matter of baptism in their knowledge, in their understanding, in eventually them taking a stand, and so on. All right. You need yourself to know about the truth of baptism, the reality of baptism. You need to know some Bible verses. And of course, you yourself need to be have been baptized, and baptism is a real thing to you, so on and so forth. So you can shepherd someone through this station of baptism. You shepherd someone through this gateway of baptism, which is a very, very important gateway. All right. Regardless how old they are in the physical life, how high a position they may hold, or how high an education they may have received, we have to consider them as babes. This person may be a general manager in a company. This person may be a professor in a school. This person may be an accomplished person in society, but they need to be baptized. So how to shepherd such a one? This one needs a particular kind of shepherding. He's like a babe in Christ. This is one of the secrets of how to practice the God-ordained way, but a hard lesson to learn. You see, saints, to just come to the meetings, to be in the church life, to do something, serve in a general way, that's relatively easy. To care for someone, to care for a person, station by station, step by step, level by level, that's hard. That's hard. But we have to learn. We have no choice. Just like a mother with a newborn, how to raise up this kid in the next, what, 17 years or 18 years? That's a complex piece of work. That's a long-term project, if you will. Well, the only way is to do it and learn. One, for example, if we bring an older man to the Lord and baptize him, we should respect his age. You see, just to respect, you're younger, so you have to have a respect of his age. This is to know how to be human. This know how to relate to others in a way that will not stumble them, that will not, offend them. A way that would be pleasant and pleasing and fitting. You see, dear saints, so much is required of a shepherd, really. Here it says we should respect his age because this is the proper humanity. You don't know how to be human with someone else, another human being. You cannot shepherd that person. You may be able to bombard them with your truth, knowledge, but it doesn't work so well. We must also realize because he has been saved for only a few days, he's very young in the Lord. He just started to call on the name of the Lord. Our purpose in meeting with him contacting him, having an appointment with him, should be to feed him, not to teach him. There is a difference between feeding and teaching. We may feed them with the word. In other words, our feeding involves teaching. But there's a difference. Some of us know how to teach. We don't know how to feed, really. And we have seen that. And maybe we ourselves have done that. We must have the realization that he's a newborn babe and feed him with spiritual baby food. Some of us have been through the full-time training. Some of us have all kinds of knowledge of the truth, but we don't know how to give baby food according to the level of where this person is. So we end up doing what is said to be in the Old Testament, boiling a kid in the mother's milk. You got milk, okay, but it's so hot. It's the mother's milk even, but it's so hot that you ended up boiling a kid, killing them. And we have seen that happen in the church life. Saints have no idea, no consideration, no awareness of who this person is and where they are and who you are. You have no way of knowing how to give forth food. You know, in certain cultures, the mother would actually chew the food and spit it out for the baby to take. You know, now we have burpers, now we have, you know, things in bottles and cans, and so make it easy. But in the old days, they would do things like that. How to feed a newborn babe with baby food? Your length in the church life may not qualify you to know. It's not automatic you know how to feed a newborn. You've been around for years in the church life, but you don't know how to feed a little babe, a new believer. Then you have to learn again. How about that? Dear saints, we all need to learn how to be with a 5 to 6 year old, how to be with a 11 to 12 year old. They're all different. This does not mean that we should despise the new believers. Of course, we have to have respect to respect them, but within we must realize their spiritual condition. We should not be carried away by their talking because spiritually speaking, they are babes. So we may meet even a Christian. You know, I ran into, was introduced to an older sister, probably my age, maybe slightly younger, coming from the direction of Christianity. Now she is very just taken by the ministry, you know, very open. Well, she's a babe in a sense, but not a babe in another sense. How should I? I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying if I'm a sister and this sister fell on my lap, you know, or I pick up a burden, how do I feed this young sister, this new sister who is really not that young or that new physically and even spiritually? How do you shepherd this one? A lot to learn, dear saints, a lot to learn. We say, well, this person is not open, that person is whatever. Well, check with ourselves first. Maybe we don't know how. Maybe we don't know how. B, while we're talking to a new one as to a babe, we have to look to the Lord for the wisdom to handle the situation without stumbling them. This applies just across the board, dear saints, in our care for people. Whether it's to a babe or an older one, we need to learn in contacting people not to rely on ourselves and our smarts, but to inwardly look to the Lord for wisdom. What words to use? How to turn the conversation? How to handle this person? How to do this without stumbling or hurting them or offending them? You see, a lot to learn, very delicate. That's why the word gentle, that's why the word tender is used. Dear saints, one, there are some very difficult situations that we will encounter in the preaching of the gospel, even in the gospel, and carry for newly saved ones, including the matter of idols. Brother Lee was speaking to in Taiwan, still a lot of idols there, clearance of the past, marriage, you know, some have very mixed up marital situation, but they're safe. How do you help them? How do you help them? You don't tell them, hey, go back and take a hammer and break all your idols. Well, that sounds good, but you may have hurt the situation. There's a timing. There's a time to enlighten. There's a time for things. There needs to be a lot of patience and wisdom in our care for, in our detailed care for others, for people. Two, we should not stumble or damage the new ones if we learn to hold home meetings always with the realization that we are dealing with babes. This will safeguard us, and this will open the way for us to render the proper help to them. I find the mistake, the common mistake I make, and repeatedly, is to be presumptuous. Even before I really know more thoroughly, more in depth, where this person is, I proceeded to prescribe this and say this too quickly. And a lot of us make this mistake to the detriment of our relationship with a person and even in their ongoing openness to our care. So by having the realization that we need to be delicate and tender and careful, like they are little babes, young ones, this actually will safeguard us. We may, in the process, begin to realize that they are more advanced, or their need is here and there, but it takes time for us to find that out. You know, listening is a big skill. It's a huge big skill in shepherding. Learn to listen. We'll cover that more as we go on in this outline. Our job is to, by the Lord's mercy and through our skills, to keep this person open to us so that in time, multiple times and ongoing, we can render the help to them. It may take weeks, it may take months on this matter or that matter. Well, don't lose hope. Don't become impatient. It takes time to know someone, and it takes time to know what to render to them for their help. We should not forget that the new ones are deeply fallen sinners, so it is not so easy for us to rescue them out of their fallen situation and condition in a quick way. You know, Paul says, I struggle, you know, to exhort every man, to admonish every man. Paul realized it takes time to bring someone on, to bring someone on in Christ. It takes time. And when you face with some who are not that young, who are at a crisis point in their spiritual life that is even harder. Even harder. How do you bring this person through this crisis, through this gateway, into another stage in their experience of the Lord? And so, by the way, we ourselves have to experience life, experience Christ in a detailed way. If we don't, we don't know how to help people. And this is in lesson six. That's why I said we have the title Progressive Shepherding. To give someone that is age appropriate, that is condition appropriate, that is case appropriate in caring for them. And so it requires us to also learn the lesson. So let's say, for example, I never have dealt with my conscience in a careful, thorough way. Don't expect me to be able to help others to do that. I have not have a thorough dealing with the Lord in the clearance of my past. I won't know how to help someone to do the same. I'm not a consecrated person. How can I help others to be consecrated? You see, I am not one who obey the Lord's will. How can I help others to know God's will and do God's will? You see this? So a lot is required on us, but dear brothers and sisters, this is our destiny. This is our vocation. This is our calling to care for others. So let the Lord have his way. Just pray, Lord, I resolve, because of your constraining love, to care for your sheep, your lambs, for people. But Lord, I'm so lacking. I'm so short. Lord, make up. I need something remedial. Lord, make that up in me. I now open to you for lessons that I skirted or I missed. Lord, have mercy on me, not for my sake, but for the sake of these, your lambs and your sheep. How about that prayer? How about that prayer? I believe the Lord will hear such prayers. You see, eventually our care for people force us to deal with the Lord and to grow in the Lord. Okay, see, we should pick up one or two new ones. I always say, don't pick up many, because you cannot handle them at this stage. Just pick up one, brothers. Start with one. If I'm there in San Jose today, I may ask one of you, who is that one you picked up? Or two, tell me the names. Who are they? What age are they in the Lord? What are you doing? We have to be practical, saints. We have to take action and do something. All right? We all have to have some babies. You know, I wrote a little article back in the 90s when I was still serving in Anaheim using John 21. I said we should all have one hand with a fish and another hand with a lamb. You know, that's the story by the Sea of Tiberias. They netted, you know, so many fish. And the Lord's charge to feed the lambs, because the fish in the sea eventually became the lamb on the seashore, on the land. So we need to know how to bring a fish, to catch a fish. We also need to know how to feed a lamb. When every saint, figuratively speaking, have a fish on one hand and a lamb on the other, this is a normal saint. All right. Okay. We should pick up one or two new ones and consider them as our babes. We must be prepared to spend 2 years. Listen, 2 years to get someone saved, nourished, fed, raised up, and to some extent perfected to be one who is fully in the church life. 2 years. You say 2 years is, oh, too short. I will tell you, maybe it'll take 3 years. Maybe it'll take 4 years. You know, we who work in the campuses, and my wife and I, we have worked for the longest time on the campus. Thank the Lord. You know, if we're in a junior college, we have 2 years to work on them. Regular college, we have 4 years to work on them. But these 4 years is not just 4 long years. It's 4 years of progressive shepherding, progressive care to bring them all the way from salvation into the church life, you know, into the house of God. You know, Psalm 23, that is progressive, by the way. Those five stations in Psalm 23, it's progressive. Progress. We do things just hit and miss, and you know, we talk to people what we want to talk about. You have no sense that you are raising up a child. There's a process to foster them, to make them, to raise them up, to perfect them step by step until they are a solid one in the church life. This explains even why our increase is not so regular or solid, because we're short of this kind of shepherds among us. D, we need to teach the divine truth to people to strengthen our shepherding and reach its goal. So we need to know the truth, not to bombard people, but we have the reservoir. We have to all become a repository of the divine truth within us. We need to know the basic truths because we need the truth to enlighten people. The word of God is always the basis of what we teach and what we feed people with. There is a cherishing side that we care for people's outward situation. We warm them up. We make them happy. We make them pleasant. We care for their outward needs. But all that is so that we can feed them with something of God, with the word, with the divine life. Okay, one, shepherding and teaching should be like 2 feet for our move with the Lord. Our shepherding should always be with teaching, and our teaching should always be with shepherding. These two things are conjoined. They're even, in a sense, one, but there is still a difference. A lot of our shepherding is through teaching, the proper kind of teaching. Not overteach, not underteach, but just right, the right kind of a teaching, along with our caring for them in their outward situation. Two, on the one hand, we should shepherd people by dispensing the divine life into them. On the other hand, we should teach them with the divine truths. Some of us, we are stronger in life, been a bit deficient in truth. Some of us have no more truth, but we may be short in life. And both would handicap us, okay, in our shepherding and care for others. We need both truth and life. Three, without shepherding, our work for the Lord cannot be effective. That's it. It's so such a on point statement. without shepherding our work for the Lord. We can do a lot for the Lord. They won't be effective. We must learn all the truth so that we may have something to speak and go to contact people to shepherd them. Now you see, brothers and sisters, our growth in life is not for its own sake, so that we would be spiritual, we would be mature. Our growth in life is so that we can dispense life into others. Our increase of the proper knowledge of the truth is not so that we can be knowledgeable and can give messages, but so that we have the food, the solid food, starting with the pure milk of the word, and it can go on eventually to become solid food, to feed from the lambs to the grown-up sheep. Three, without shepherding, our work for the Lord cannot be effective. Okay, all right. Okay, I read that already. E, in order to help people in a definite way, we first need to determine their need and which stage of the spiritual life they're in. Then we should find a way to help them or meet that need. You need to study. That's why it's good to have some vital shepherding companions. I may not know exactly what to do or say, but this other brother or sister may know. And it's good for a new one to have two parents. Am I right? We need to study the cases and how to care for them. Brother Lee, bringing in the revival in Chifu, one of the things he did was he had a group of brothers, full-time brothers and sisters with him during the morning in the week where they study cases, this case and that case and that case. Then in the afternoon, they go out and contact these ones. That is what partly brought in a revival there. F, when we feed these little babes, we cannot feed them too much. In most cases, three or four verses are enough. We should always keep them a little hungry. See, I mean, you say this is too much. This is kind of, what are we talking about here? Well, I think you know what I'm talking about, what is written here. You have to just be so sensitive, so much knowledgeable of where this dear one is, this little one or young one is. You know, sometime just one verse too much spoils the whole talk. Sometimes you are just missing one verse and that talk is not so complete in the way of helping them and feeding them and enlightening them. A lot to learn, dear saints, a lot to learn. Three, we must all learn to work together as a team without any opinion. Then our team, this is like, I call them shepherding companions or fruit-bearing companions, okay? Vital companions. A team can be a family working year-round to raise up the Lord's children. Whether it's fruit-bearing or shepherding, it is to raise up God's children. A, the first item regarding raising up children is that we cannot care properly for too many. As a team of three, we should be able to take care of 6 to 10 new ones, with each team member having only about three new ones to take care of. Nothing of this is rigid or legal, but the point is, don't try to do too much. Rather to do something, don't just strive for quantity, strive for quality. Don't just do many things in a general way, in a superficial way. Rather, do less, but the result is solid. long term to learn to do that. We should go back to them frequently to feed them and care for them. Mothers know that their feeding of the little ones must be regular, constant, and continuous. This is a key. Do you sense in our care for people? You cannot just visit them and not see them for months, and then that's not shepherding. Shepherding is a frequent care, a regular care, a continuous care. Not too much, though. Sometimes we're too anxious and people feels pressure. Just right. But in any event, the frequent regular care is what is effective. We should visit these new ones again and again until we realize they are settled in the Christian faith. This is related to a new believer. All right? But the principle applies to all stages of shepherding. We should not leave the raising up of our children to others. The work of raising up the new ones must be under our direct care. I like the word direct care. There's no such thing as proxy care. Okay? There's no such thing as delegate care, really. Learn, brothers and sisters, to directly care for someone. We should fall in love with our children and be willing to sacrifice ourselves for them. Without the sacrifice of its mother, no child could be raised properly. Well, you have to study Paul's way of caring for others. I think we covered that in a previous outline. Paul just sacrificed. He said, the children don't store up anything for the parents. The parents always store up something for the children. He said, I'm gladly spend and be spent on behalf of your souls. The less you love me, the more we will still love you. Paul had a spirit of sacrifice when it comes to the believers under his care. That's it, the word sacrifice, the last word of Brother Lee on the earth, supposedly sacrifice. If you don't want to be inconvenienced, you always just care for yourself. We cannot care for people. Two saints. We cannot care for people. You know, the midnight call may come. Then what? The child is crying. Some accident happened. Dear saints, we're here for others, not for ourselves. A, the best way to carry out the home meeting is simply to cause this new one to feel happy. That's who I'm cherishing. We must have a kind of attitude, appearance, gesture that is so pleasant, and to make them also feel pleasant. Some of us, our face is dark, long. You say, no, I'm filled with love within. Well, but I don't see it in your eyes, in your gesture. You are just you look scary to me. No, you, brothers and sisters, don't think this is too much. Learn to smile. Learn to be kind. Learn how to be pleasant. Learn how to be warm. It makes a lot of difference. To nourish and cherish the new ones, we have to be fine and gentle. We must know how to take care of people in a way that their hearts would be open to us. I would even say that the hearts would be won over by us. No, we're not here trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Popular, right? No. We're not here just to win friends. But we need to be those who know how to cause people to receive our care. Okay, quickly. I know I hit the bell here already. Number four, we need to know the new ones and speak according to their need, not according to what you just read, but according to their need. To know where they are is the most important thing. A, we should not merely make the new ones pleasant or happy. That is not the purpose. B, we must be on the alert while we're talking to them in order to know what kind of persons they are. The best way we do this is to leave some time for them to say something. We should not occupy all the time. People who know to care for people is a good listener. Listen to others. Learn to listen and not just start talking, just talk. Ask questions. Listen to them. Let them speak. The more you listen, the more you hear, can sense their feeling about their situation. D, the best way to help the new believers is just to take their words and speak something definite and particular to them, according to their need. General words does not help people so much. It's always a specific word to their situation that will touch them, that will help them. Five, we need to learn to care for the home meetings, our appointments, our visits, our one-on-ones, according to a definite goal. A goal. The main purpose of the home meetings is to nourish the new believers. But each mother who nourishes her new baby does so with a definite goal. So we need to pray. It's not just going to meet with someone. We need a lot of prayer. Lord, where is so and so? Lord, where is he or she in this matter or that? What should be my goal or my objective in my time with him tomorrow? You see, brothers, I mean, this will cause us to spend time with the Lord for the sake of others, not for your own need, but for others' needs. You become their intercessor. You become their advocate because you are now their shepherd. We should not conduct the home meetings in an aimless way. We should mainly try to help the new believers according to the lessons in the life lessons. Okay, there are a lot of material. We can talk about that later on. C, we should keep each lesson in the pocket of our heart. Then whatever there's a need, like a medical doctor after the diagnosis, we will be able to meet any patient's need. I think we can cover that as you get into my assignment to you, get into the next lesson. It will cover this matter of how to help someone in a progressive way, even with the help of the word and also the spiritual materials that we have. I hope this talk is beneficial, profitable to all of us. I really hope so. I stop here. Back to you, brother.